Hey everyone, welcome to this week's sermon podcast of Be Church. Here, you can listen to our latest weekly sermons for your spiritual growth. We believe that this message will really bless you. Come on, praise God. Amen. Now you can do better than that. Huh? Amen. Thank you, Lord. We just worship you, give you praise, exalt you. Amen. I think God is good and He's awesome, isn't He? We're going to see the goodness of God so much more. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So we're going to get into the Word. Are you ready for the Word this morning? Amen. You can open your Bibles to Matthew 6. Matthew 6. I want to just leave something this morning with you. I want to speak on the King's nature. King's nature this morning. Come on, we carry something. You're a child of the King? Amen. Say that to me. I'm a child of the King. Come on, you belong to the kingdom. Where are we seated? In heavenly places. Amen. And we are citizens of heaven, isn't it? So what is the kingdom of God? Kingdom of God is a citizenry of people who express His culture and His nature therein. Amen. To express, Pastor Eka just spoke about culture and lifestyle, and it's exactly, I don't know if he got my notes this morning, but it's exactly what we are going to be talking about. Is it's a lifestyle and a nature. That's what God calls us, amen, to a lifestyle and nature of the King. And while I was just sitting this week, I just felt out God just saying again, remember, every now and then we need to circle back and get to that place where we remember, what is it that you carry? What is it that you have? Remember, the Word says, who of you put on perfume this morning? Come on, you can be honest. Okay? And who of you are going to put on perfume tomorrow morning again? Well, you want to impress the people at church. Not many. It's the perfume for Saturdays and Sundays, maybe. Weekends. All right? Stretch it. Why do we put on perfume tomorrow morning again? Like lacquer. Okay, yes, it smells nice, but why do you have to do it? Okay, yeah, that's good answers. The answer I'm looking for is because it fades away. You don't put on and then it remains, isn't it? You put on, but after a while it fades away and you have to put on again. Some of us, we do it more, you know. We keep it in our cars, and wherever you get out, you're like, you spray yourself. You make sure you're getting noticed. But it fades away. And that's the thing, is the Word speaks of us carrying the aroma of Christ. And He keeps on telling us, therefore, put on Christ, put on Christ, put on Christ. Come on. You have to keep on at that place where you continually are the aroma of Christ. But the aroma of Christ, one of the fragrances, it smells like death. We just celebrated, we just had communion where we partake in His death. It's a fragrance when you are clothed with Christ. Because the word of our testimony is, and we didn't love our lives even unto death. You have to become one with Christ. So when we're in a kingdom, we say we express His nature and His culture therein. There's something we need to do and there's some place we need to get at. And one of the principles in the kingdom, there's many principles in the kingdom, but one of them is priority. Come on, say priority with me. In other words, what is the most important thing? We spoke on prior or priority or first. Proton. Amen. Proton means first. First in place, first in time, first in position, first in rank, first in order. And he says, what is our priority? What comes first in our life? So let's get quickly to Matthew 6. Are you there? You have your Bibles open. Okay. I gave you the command and I never turned there. Matthew 6, let's just look there. Speaks about the needy and then about fasting and laying up your treasures. Where your heart is, your treasure will be, isn't it? And then he says this from verse 25. Or let's read 24. He says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Who of you knows we need money in this life to operate and do things? Come on. Who of you don't need money? Okay. All of us, we need it. And verse 25 says, therefore, now he comes. He says, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about the body, what you will put on. It is life not more than the food, or body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, neither do they sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? We said, now each of us have the same value, not the same function. Amen. We've got more value than the sparrows. And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to the span of his life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field and how they grow, neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown in the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious to say, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles, other translation says, the pagans seek after these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient is the day in its own trouble. Amen. Say priority. What is the most important thing? And Jesus starts with this, and he actually comes and tells us what is not priority when he starts with this. He says that the things actually that we've now made priority in our lives, isn't it? Because we are. If you catch yourself, you were anxious about food and clothing and security and land and all these things. Where I'm going to stay? Do I have a shelter? Is my basic needs taken care of, isn't it? That's our fear. We are anxious about these things. And he says, don't be. He condemns it actually. He says, the things that's important to us is this: food, clothes, water, house, isn't it? That's how we survive. But he says, hey, I'm condemning actually this. He says, why do you worry? And he's like, because we need them, isn't it? That's why we worry, because if it looks like there's going to be lack or something missing, we're going to worry. But he says, why do you worry? Because he says, why do you make a priority of food and clothes and all these things? He says what? He knows your Father. Your Father knows you need them. Your Father knows you need them. They're not a priority. That's what he said. The pagans prioritize these things. He says, but you seek first. Come on, say, seek first the kingdom of God. So God's priority is two things in life. He says, spend the rest of your life seeking the kingdom. Come on, study it. Try to understand it. Pursue it. Explore it. Do whatever it takes to understand and get to the fullness of kingdom. Do that. And then he says the second part, then seek righteousness. Now, righteousness in the courts of law, to be righteous means to be rightly positioned in terms of authority of government. When you're rightly positioned with government and how they function. In other words, if you stop at a red light, you are righteous, isn't it? Because you're obeying the law. Come on. Who can say yes or amen on that one? All right. You stay in line with government. But if you jump or you run the red light, it's an unrighteous act, isn't it? You've broken relationship with what? The government. The covenant, the government's right. So you're unrighteous now. You're out of that place. So God says what? He says, seek the kingdom first. In other words, seek the government of God first. And secondly, to stay in line with that kingdom, to stay in line with that governance of God. To stay in line with that covenant. Come on. Don't break the law. Don't violate the covenant. Stay in line with that. That's what he says. In other words, be positioned properly. And then he says, everything else will be added unto us. Come on. Because he knows that you need them. But we like to make plans because the Bible says we walk not by sight, but by faith. But we see trouble is coming and then we make plans and we're trying all sorts of things instead of he knows that you need them, isn't it? And then we're trying to make our own plans and we make sometimes this big mess up where God says, seek the kingdom, stay in line with the covenant and I will add everything unto you. In Matthew 17, after the wilderness, Jesus comes, Matthew 4 verse 17, the first thing he preaches, he says, repent for the kingdom is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, the word he uses is metanoia, all right? Which means change your whole thinking, renew your mind, think differently. Come on. So in other words, he says, I want you to start changing your way that you think because now the kingdom is again here. It's a different system that operates. Yes, you were a slave to sin. You were bound in sin and you lost everything. But hey, the kingdom of God is at hand. There's news. There's a change in governance. And you need to seek the kingdom. So how do we seek the kingdom? Thank you for asking. Okay, number one. All right, how do we seek the kingdom? First thing about a kingdom is what? You have to get to the king. The nature of the king. You have to get to the king. Why? Because the king is the center of the kingdom. The kingdom or the center of the kingdom is a person. Come on. It's not an organization. It's a person. That's why Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The key is that the king is the source of the kingdom. That's why it says if you are in Christ, you can become the fragrance and the aroma of Christ. If we, this is a different topic, but let me just quickly take that detour. If we take a cucumber and we put it in a solution of spices and vinegar and all those things for 5 days, and we take it out, what is it going to taste like? Eh? Just vinegar. If you rinse it a little bit, it's still going to taste like a cucumber, isn't it? It's too quick. Come on, who of you like to lay in vegetables or fruit or make curries? It's not a 5-day process, is it? No. If you leave that cucumber in there for a couple of months, what's changing? That cucumber becomes a pickle. All right? Because it's taking on the nature and the fragrance, the character of that what is soaked in. And that's why it says in Christ. It's not a 5-minute dip. It's when you are soaked in Christ, when you start taking on the nature and the fragrance of that what you are soaked in. That's why Jesus says, hey, the king, it's all about, or the kingdom is all about the king. It comes out of his birthright. The very first thing you seek is the king. That's why Christ says, if you come unto me, come on, come unto me. The cross is the entry point for the kingdom. He says, then you will know the kingdom of God if you come unto me. One time he says to his disciples, he says, hey, the kingdom of God is at hand. He says, but soon the kingdom of God will not just be at hand, but the kingdom of God will be within us. Come on. In you. Because he says, I'm going to take the spirit of the governor of the kingdom, the Holy Spirit. I'm going to place that within you. Come on. And the day of Pentecost, he comes, he breathes on his disciples. And they receive the spirit. They receive the kingdom. They receive it within them. Holy Spirit is a person. Kingdom is a person. You have to receive that first. Then, secondly, it's lived out in administration. So we need to receive that. Here's a definition. A kingdom is a governing influence of a king over his territory. Then he impacts it with his will, his purpose, come on, his intent. That produces a citizenry. That's us now. A people who express his culture and his nature there. That's it. To produce something within us, his culture and his nature. So the kingdom is impacted by the personal will of the king. That what he thinks, that what he wants to do. And remember, Egypt, we were slaves and we sang this morning, God took us out of Egypt now. So now we are all on this journey. We are out of Egypt and we get to the base of the mountain Sinai. And God wants to cut covenant with his people. What did we say? Seek the kingdom, everything. And then righteousness means to do everything to stay in line with that covenant. So he comes, he wants to cut covenant. Just before he gives the, we've done that. We've covered that base where we speak about the Ten Commandments, the Ketubah, which is the law, which was a marriage proposal. So Exodus 19, God tells Moses, get the people ready because I'm going to come in my best and I'm going to propose to you. So get them ready, let them wash, let them be prepared for I'm going to come and visit you. And now they stand at the base of the mountain, and Exodus 19 verse 6 says, where God says now this, you shall become to me, or you shall come, no, you shall be, sorry, to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the people. So he says, we become a kingdom of priests unto God. It's not just important what God says, it's important in the order, timeline, when God says certain things. Because what happened at the base of the mountain is God didn't just come as a husband, God first came as king. Because we are the bride, and he's the bridegroom. So before it was husband and wife, he came as the king of kings to us. And he says, you will be a kingdom of priests. And then he comes and he proposes, gives a contract and says, will you become one with me? He comes in his glory, because the king and his nature is all about the glory. Amen. When the king manifests the kingdom, it produces us, yes, a citizenry that has got the nature and the culture of the king. But I want to talk about the nature of the king. Just a little bit and then we're done. Because God wants his nature in us. When I was praying, I just felt this, that sometimes we just need to get quiet and just relax a bit. Cast your cares and your burdens unto him. Remember who you are. Remember how far God has taken us. Remember God is on your side. Come on. That God has given you the victory. Sometimes we just need to do like a little bit of an inventory to say, we have come thus far and God has been faithful. There's no lack, there's no need for anything. God wants his nature in us. God wants his fragrance in us. And we have that, but sometimes we're so busy and everything just go past us that we forget certain important principles. Do you know what's within you? Do you know what do you carry? Are you aware of that? Come on. I don't have a flower now here. I forgot to bring a prop. All right. But just imagine now. We're going to go into springtime after we throw away our jackets. Amen. Then all the trees or the flowers, they have a bud, isn't it? A little green heart ball, isn't it? Before it becomes a flower. So that bud is a flower, but it's not blooming yet. It's just a bud. Can you see that picture? So the flower, although it's a flower and it's a bud, the real glory of the flower is when that bud opens up and the flower is revealed, isn't it? Exposed. So glory means the full expression. Can you see that picture? When it opens, it's the bud, but when, no, that's a different bud. But, all right? When it opens up, it exposes the fullness of that. So glory means the full weight of something. That's when God speaks of when his glory came, when the Kabod came on the mount. He came because he's now coming in his fullness as king of the glory to express something, to fill the earth, to fill nature with everything. God's nature is glory. And the glory of God was put in Adam. When God made us, he blew his breath into us. Image and likeness. We were created. Image means his nature. But Adam lost the nature of that glory when we disobeyed God. And something has been, that glory has been smothered by the rebellion of man. And it says all of creation is waiting, isn't it? For the glory of the manifestations of the Son of God, the sons of God. There's a manifestation that needs to take place. Sin came and it smothered that glory. So 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 11 and 12 says this. For you know how, like a father with his children, we exhorted each one of you, encourage you, and charge you to walk in a manner worthy of God. And then he says, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. God calls us to walk in that. You see, it says nature is crying out, waiting for the revelation. Why is nature crying out? take back to the beginning. Nature was there. God created. Then he created man. Then sin happened. But before sin happened, what was there? The fullness, the glory. God walked with them. In the cool of the day, they were there. So nature is crying out because it says, where is the glory? Because they say, we knew what it used to be like. We've seen the glory of God before. Where is that glory? We want to see the revelation and the fullness, the exposure of that glory again. Can you see that? That's why it says creation is waiting again for that picture. It's waiting again for that revelation to the glory of God to be revealed. But God has given us. Jesus came. We have to be in Christ because Jesus is the glory. It says, Hebrews 1 verse 3. Jesus, he is the radiance of the glory of God. The exact imprint of his nature. What is kingdom? His nature. His will. Come on. So he's the imprint of that nature, Christ. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power after making purification for sins. He sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. The glory that you've given me, John 17, Jesus, now, Father, I give to them that they may be one even as we are one. Come on. Where's the glory now? Say it loud. In us. Father, the glory that you've given me, I have given to us, them. There's something that needs to be revealed. And then he says, may the earth be filled with the glory and the nature of God. So people need to look at us and they need to see what heaven looks like. We sang it. This is what heaven looks like. Come on. Some of you have joy, but it's like, I have joy, joy, joy. You have to work on that. Come on. Because people look at you and they need to see the nature of the glory of God. People look at you and they need to see what heaven looks like. Our lifestyle, our attitudes, our cultural response. We spoke on culture. Culture is important because why? Religion produces a system, but kingdom is a culture. Only one amen I hear. Religion produces a system, but people try to follow. Rules, regulations, and that's our problem. Kingdom produces a culture within us. Come on. That means a lifestyle. That's what Pastor Eka said. A lifestyle that is natural. That's kingdom culture. It's a lifestyle that's natural that flows from us. Something that just comes. It's like, who have you thought of when you drove your car here? Who have you thought of everything? It comes by nature now. It's natural. You don't think of, oh, I have to release the accelerator, I have to, you know, change gears. It just happens by default because it's nature. And that's what he says, his kingdom is supposed to be a lifestyle that's natural. It flows from us. God says the kingdom comes in power. He says the kingdom is within us. So natural, in other words, not rules, not regulations, not systems. It's our culture. The thing that I wanted to focus on this morning is this. God says, because he wrote there the law on tablets. But what he says is, I don't want to write the law on stone tablets. He says, what I wanted to do is I want to write the law on your hearts and in your minds. So that as the kingdom is within you, it can flow naturally out of you. But do you allow God to write the law within your heart and in your mind? Where are you at? What do you carry? You know, kingdom is this. He's supposed us to love one another, isn't it? It's a culture. It's not we have to love one another because he told us we have to. Kingdom is we love because that's the culture. We love one another. One of the cultures is, hey, we forgive one another. We love one another. Not just this. Culture is not just love one another. Kingdom culture is this. He says, kingdom culture is you love your enemies. Even your enemies. He says, that's culture. To love your enemies. You see, he says, kingdom culture is our culture is to give. Come on. I want to say, if we got to force you to give, then you're still religious. Now you can say amen or ouch.
If we have to tell you, hey, you have to give, that's how God's kingdom works. If we have to force you to give, you're still religious. Why? If you're in the culture of heaven, if you're in the culture of kingdom, you will start to realize that we are ambassadors of a land of the heaven. And we are sent ones, and our culture is to give because you're a citizen and an ambassador, and you supply for the work of kingdom. Come on, that's different. That's a cultural. Then giving becomes culture, not a force or task, not a system. Tick it off. I've done this. I've done that. Isn't it? Do I speak to hearts this morning? We're almost done. 7 good points, then we're done. No. 7 steps to, no, not that. You see, religion is bondage. Number one opposition of kingdom is religion. Number one opposition of kingdom is when we try to follow systems. You see, not sinners, religion. Let me read this. Let me start landing. Matthew 23:13 says, "But woe to you," that's Jesus, "scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut the kingdom of heaven in people's faces. For you neither enter yourself nor allow those who would enter to go in." He's speaking to religious leaders, and he tells the teachers that you lock up the kingdom in people's faces. It means you don't go in, but you neither allow them to enter the kingdom. You prevent them. And how do they prevent them? They give them religion, systems, rules, lists, regulations. You have to do this. You have to keep that. Religion is the opposition of kingdom, the natural lifestyle of what needs to flow from us. Do you allow God to write on your heart and your mind the laws of God? 2 more things. See, Jesus never joined a religious group. We need to understand kingdom. When Jesus was caught, he was taken to the Sanhedrin before he's crucified. But can you remember when they tried to trial him, he keeps quiet. He never speaks a word. Why? Because the Sanhedrin council was a religious trial system. And Jesus didn't come to just start or bring a religion. He came to bring kingdom as a king, not as someone that's a religious leader. And when they try to try him in a religious system, he doesn't answer. Wrong system. Only when Jesus appears before Pontius Pilate, which was the king at that time, Jesus responds back. Now it's a king speaking to a king. That's the right system. That's where he comes. So he doesn't speak in the Sanhedrin council because it's a religious system, and he didn't come to do that. So when Pontius Pilate comes and he says, "I didn't know you're a king," Jesus speaks. He says, "Not only am I a king, but my kingdom is not from earth. It came to earth, but it's not from this place." Come on. Different kingdom. A different system. God calls us as citizens. And as citizens, you start living out the nature and the culture of the king. My heart this morning is, if we can just leave this, we're ending off, is what is it that you carry? There's a nature of the king that he wants to settle or fix in your life. There's something that God wants you to carry. You need to understand that he called you as a kingdom of priests. And as a kingdom of priests, you are a citizen of heaven. We work and we operate on a different system. Don't let religion catch you. Don't let religion bind you. Following rules, regulations, lists, systems. I'm going to try harder. I'm going to fast more. I'm going to pray longer. That's all good. As long as it doesn't become works for a system. Because there's certain principles, there's certain disciplines that we follow. But you can't twist or change God by doing these things unless there's a heart that's His. Does God write on the tablet of your heart and your mind? That's where I want you to be this morning. Come on, let's close our eyes as you sit for 30 seconds. We're going to end off. We've done communion. We've done all these things. We partake in the unity. We partake in His kingdom. But I want to ask you this question. God says, not on tablets of stone, but I want to write on the tablets of your heart. Will you allow Him? In other words, what I want this morning is that you will give God a yes again. You say, yes, Lord. You can write on the tablets of my heart and on my mind your laws, your principles, your nature, your culture. That you will just get quiet this morning and realign yourself to say, I'm going to appropriate or position myself again to follow kingdom. To live it, to breathe it, to understand it, and then righteousness. To do everything in my might to stay aligned with your covenant. Because it says, for your Father knows you need all these things. So this morning I speak to your hearts and I say, peace, be still. Know that your Father knows you need all these things. But this is an invitation again this morning to say, come and seek first the kingdom of God, the nature of the King. That's where God wants you to be. That's where you will find life. That's where it will flow and be fulfilled. So Father, we just come this morning. We seal it off this morning. We want to say this morning, we seek your face. We're here to seek your face. You call us for your kingdom. Citizens of kingdom. Citizens of heaven. Thank you, Lord, that you chose us. We are yours. Give you glory and praise. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like to know more about who we are and what we do, go visit our website at bechurch.co.za. You're formed to function. Let's be church.